Scripture reading this evening is taken from Matthew, reading from the 13th chapter, verses 19 through 23. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For while tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
We're so thankful to see each and every one of you, and certainly we would encourage you to open up your Bibles this evening. We're going to be spending most of our time in Matthew chapter 13. As we look at the book of Matthew this month and our Sunday evening, I'm going to try to focus on some parables, although there's many things that we could focus on from the book of Matthew. But you start to think about parables. Parables was a main teaching tool of Jesus. And I'm sure that you've heard many things about parables over the years. Earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. And we think about that. If the master teacher was using stories, illustrations, perhaps we should use those as well as we try to study with other individuals. And you think about the purpose of that. Why would Jesus use a story? Why would he use an illustration? And certainly there are many things that could come to our mind. But he uses these physical stories to really illustrate a moral or a spiritual truth. And these stories would be easy to remember and easy to really dissect and to think about and consider where you can find yourself in the story. And I think that Jesus, certainly a master teacher, was using these parables to get across the spiritual truth and in a way that could easily be remembered. Because remember that Jesus would go around and preach in different locations and different spots, and perhaps it would be hard to remember every exact word, but we do certainly remember stories and accounts. And in Jesus' case, remember these parables. You know, more than one occasion, I think it's very clear that Jesus used parables actually to judge. You say that might seem a little bit strange or a little bit harsh. The Bible does talk about somebody can lay down some righteous judgment. And of course, when we look through the New Testament, we see the idea that we have to test false teachers. There's a lot of judgment calls we have to make in this life. When it comes to everlasting judgment, of course, Jesus and God will make those calls. We understand that. But there's a lot of judgments we have to make upon this earth. And Jesus, a lot of times when he would throw out these parables, his audience would actually be being judged. Because they would not acknowledge their fault. And what would happen was, is when you really tried to understand the story, you would see yourself in the story. And many times, Jesus was using it to affect these individuals that almost had become blinded, willingly had become blinded, to seeing their own faults and mistakes. The parable that we're looking at this evening, certainly it's a parable that attaches itself to evangelism in many ways, but also attaches itself to the way that people respond to the gospel, the way people respond to the truth. And as we look at our reading and as we look at the account of the parable, of course we see the first bit of the parable in the first part of Matthew chapter 13, and then we have the parable explained. And that's what I would like to focus on this evening, the explanation of the parable. It says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, and you see that in verse 19, So therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. We have this idea that the sower goes out and sows the seed. And I think that all of us as Christians have an obligation to try to get God's word out there as best we can. And we should try to do it as frequently as we can. There's a lot of things that we could acknowledge about the sower. If the sower is not saying, well, I'm going to plant here, not here. We have the sower that's in the field, which is the field of life or the field of earth, and it's just going and sowing along the way. But it falls on four different types of soil. And these four different types of soil for this evening, I'd like you to think of them as four different types of hearts. We find these hearts all the time. We find these hearts in our own family. We find these hearts in the world. We find these hearts even within the church itself. There are hearts all around. The question is which heart are you? When God's word touches your heart, how do you respond? How do you react? And we actually have four different reactions here. And I have always found it interesting as we look at the reactions, as we would say that three of these reactions are actually kind of negative reactions to the Word of God. And as you try to dissect it even more, you might say that three of these reactions are actually Christian, and maybe one of these is non-Christian, depending on the way that you break it down, because we see that some of these individuals receive the Word, but then how they handle that ends up becoming a problem. Four different hearts. Which one is yours? Let's start in the explanation of the parable, and let's look at each of these hearts as we go. It says, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Number one, we see the seed, the Word of God being hitting the wayside. In my mind, this is a heart that is having trouble understanding. This is a heart that perhaps is a little bit hard, and that seed almost hits this, the God's Word almost hits this heart, and what we see is almost this bounce off. Many times, God's Word will almost bounce off a people's heart. Yes, they'll hear it, and they'll just hear it just for about a split second, and then after that, they try to get it away from themselves. It almost bounces off. The seed hits and it bounces off. God's word bounces off a lot of individuals. God's word can be preached, it can be teached, it can be proclaimed, and it just hits that person's heart, it just bounces right off. And you know what? As soon as that bounce happens, you know who swoops in? The world and Satan, and they try to get that seed as far away from that heart as possible. And this can happen in many different occasions. It could be because of the hardness of an individual's heart. It could be, as the parable is kind of illustrating, also a lack of understanding. You know what? I don't quite understand the kingdom. I don't quite understand what's being said. I'm not going to try to digest it and really think about it too long. I'm just going to let it bounce off, and then Satan's going to sweep it away. Because Satan doesn't want you to think about God's word too long. In fact, Satan does everything in his power to get God's word as far away from you and your loved ones as possible. But you think about the seed, it hits the ground, it kind of bounces off, and then the birds come, and we see that that is connected with Satan trying to get God's word really away. And you know why Satan wants to get God's word away? Because he knows that it'll change somebody. If God's word stays around you too long, it'll cut your heart. It'll cut your heart, and I believe it will drive change. Satan wants to get God's word as far away from your heart and the hearts of your loved ones as he can. He wants to get it far, far away. He knows how powerful God's word is. He knows that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. In fact, we think about Jesus when he's tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. And Jesus keeps saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. God's word is powerful. It's powerful enough to do that which it's designed to do, to cut men's hearts, women's hearts, to turn them to repentance. And the devil does not want God's word to hang around too long. Is God's word around in your life? Because Satan is trying to sweep it away as quickly as possible. In fact, Satan tries to distract us from God's word. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says this. It says, to minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it talks about our mind, and it talks about the God of this age. And it's a little g there, it's talking about Satan. Satan, in many ways, is the God of this world, little g. And he, as we go throughout this physical life, he is trying to blind you. Well, how would Satan try to blind me? He's trying to blind you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Satan will try to distract you with earthly achievements, earthly accomplishments. He will try to distract you with everything he can to get you to not read God's Word, to not focus on God's Word, to snatch it away at every opportunity. Many people are blinded to the seed of the kingdom. Many people are blinded to God's Word. And Satan wants individuals in an unsaved condition, so whenever the Word goes out, Satan goes to work. He tries to make sure that individuals will not dig diligently to understand. He will try to distract. He will try to sway. He will try to get the Word away as much as he can. It is a diligent fight to keep the Word in our lives. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How do we have faith? How is faith obtained? It's obtained by hearing. And certainly the Bible talks about a living and active faith. It's not just hearing what God says, but acting upon what God has said. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible to please God without hearing the Word of God. And so many times, the Word of God stands out in people's lives. Satan does not want you around the church. Satan does not want you around the words of God, because if it gets into your heart and it lingers there, it will make a lasting and changing difference. Let's look at the next ground and soil that is mentioned there. It says, but he who receives the seed on sunny places, this is he who hears the Word and immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately he stumbles. Now, we start to look at this second one. We see that the seed falls into these rocky soils. We see that the Word is actually received by the individual, but it's only going to be really received for a period of time. And what is really going to be the problem for this person is that they have no root, they have no foundation. And I believe it's root and foundation in the Word. That when trials, when persecution, when adversity comes, maybe these individuals are swept away. You know, perhaps COVID could be an example of that. Is that COVID, we could say, was a trial, an adversity, a tribulation. And that Christians, servants of God that did not have root, when that trial and tribulation came through, it swept many of those individuals away. There are Christians that, unfortunately, I think many times don't have the foundation that they should. They don't have the roots that they should, and when storms come, they're swept away. Doesn't mean you have to be swept away. When we look at the Apostle Paul, look at all the persecutions, trials, and tribulations Paul endured. How could Paul endure all of that? Being beat, shipwreck. I mean, he rattles off a whole long list. Rich, shipwreck, all these things that happened to the Apostle Paul. How could he stay faithful? Because he had roots. He had a foundation. There are many people that will accept God's Word with joy, but they will not work on growing. They will not work on their foundation. And when trials and tribulations come, they're in a very hard spot, because they have not grown the way the Bible has encouraged them to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, it says this. It says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunningness and craftiness of deceitful plotting. It says children can be swept away. Why can they be swept away? Because they don't really have that foundation that they should. As a Christian matures, as their roots get deeper in the Word, when false doctrine comes their way, it doesn't affect them. They're not going to be moved off the truth. This person says you can be saved doing this. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, I think we can work it this way. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, I think that maybe we could do this or that. That's not what the Bible says. When we have roots, when we are rooted in the Word, we are stronger when those trials and tribulations come. And if we're living the Christian life right, those trials and tribulations will come. The persecution will come. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The persecution will come for a Christian. It may come in one form or another. It could come verbally. It could come physically. Certainly, we're blessed in our country with many protections, but persecution will come to the Christian that's trying to be faithful. Those storms will come. The question is will we have roots when those storms come to endure? Have your roots been tested? Do your roots have depth that they can hold in the storms of life? If an individual walked in here this evening with a gun, tried to hold it to each of our heads and say, denounce Christianity or I'll shoot you in the head, how would you respond? We say, Kyle, that's kind of an extreme example. Well, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries, they live that. They live under a very real threat of that happening to them. The question is if you went through such a persecution, such a trial, such an adversity, would you be faithful? Because some of these storms that come, they are not a little rainstorm, they're a hurricane. And these are affecting our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, I think over in Ukraine, any war, people get caught in the middle. And we have brothers and sisters in Christ caught in the middle of that war. But that's not the only war going around on planet Earth. There are other places where there's wars going on, and I can guarantee that there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are caught in the middle of this. Talk about a trial. Talk about adversity. Talk about persecution. If they don't have strong roots, they'll be in trouble. If we don't have strong roots, we'll be in trouble. I think this is really kind of in reference to a Christian, someone who's received the Word, but they have not grown the way that they should and have that good, strong foundation that they can hold. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 21. Look at it again. It says, yet he who has no root in himself, but endures only for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the Word, immediately he stumbles. When hard times come, are you rooted in the truth? We have example one, the hard soil, the hard heart, or the not understanding heart. Then we kind of have here a heart that is going to be rocky and does not really have the root. And when those trials come, there are struggles. Let's look at number three, the thorn. Verse 22. It says, now he who receives the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. We see the thorn. This person hears the word. I believe we also see the idea of receiving the word. But they are overly concerned with the world to the point that they are choked, where they do not grow the way that they should, and I think not growing the way that we should, we're not going to be fruitful. If you can imagine like an apple tree or something, you know that apple tree, it's got to grow for a while. It's got to grow those roots, and then it's got to grow before it becomes fruitful. Now imagine that tree growing, and it's just got this huge briar patch that's all over it. It's not going to get to that point where it's fruitful. Well, what are these briars that's holding this tree down? What's holding this tree down that it can't grow appropriately, that it can't be fruitful? And the Bible tells us it's the world. You can get so focused on the world, so focused on the pursuits of the world, that it can actually harm your Christian growth. You will not grow and you will not be fruitful. Why? Because you are concerned too much with the world. And once again, I think that goes back to Satan. Satan's very good at what he does. Satan's good, the god of this age, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, he's very good at blinding individuals. How does he blind? Throws out lust of the flesh. Throws out the pride of life. Throws out these things that distract people from what is truly important. Those things that are spiritual. Is it more important we grow on the job or we grow as a Christian? Can you answer that question? We have some very talented people here at Sandyville. I get to hear about these individuals. And it's a positive thing, because I think we should have a good reputation in the workplace and in the community to the best of our ability. But are you growing so much in the physical world that you're not growing in the spiritual world? So focused on the physical that somehow we leave out the spiritual. Where we don't develop ourselves spiritually the way that we should. Because perhaps we have been blinded or distracted by Satan. And certainly he's good at putting those lies, those deceptions, and those smoke screens in front of individuals that they are choked by the world and the cares of them. The fourth one we get to, we see, is the good heart. The good and receptive heart. Verse 23, it says, "But he who receives the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. We see a seed that grows, and we see a seed that is fruitful. And I think that that is certainly needed, and that is what God is looking for us to do as his fruit trees, if you will. God does not want a fruit tree that never starts. God does not want a fruit tree that does not have roots. God does not want to have a fruit tree that starts to grow but then is choked out by the things around and never gets to a point where it matures and it starts producing fruit itself. God wants a tree that has roots, that grows and produces fruit. And the type of tree that you become for God or the type of plant you become for God depends a lot on your heart. It depends a lot on your heart and how you are going to receive the word throughout your life. How are you going to receive the word? You know, I've always thought of these four types of soils. This might not be the right way to think about it, but it's the way I thought about it. I think about these four types of soils like a diamond. And the bottom part of the diamond is that individual that never becomes a Christian. The bottom part of the diamond is the individual that never becomes a Christian. The word hits it, there's not understanding, there's not openness to it, so that individual does not become a Christian. Then you have the top part of the diamond. The top part of the diamond is the individual that receives that word, understands it, grows, and is fruitful. That's the top of the diamond. That's really what God's looking for. Now, the two offsides of the diamond, I actually think, are talking about Christians. These two people, off to the offside of the diamond, someone who rejects the word, somebody who receives the word, grows and fruitful, these two offshoots of the diamond, these two offshoots, actually, I think, sometimes describe our brothers and sisters in Christ. And perhaps sometimes even describe us ourselves. We have a Christian who has no roots, has not deepened their understanding, has not matured in the word, and whenever a trial or a tribulation or persecution comes their way, they're going to be swept away. It's unfortunate. We also have the Christian over here. The Christian over here, I believe, has received the word, but they are being choked out by the cares of the world, and they are not dedicating the time and effort that they should to their own spiritual growth. And because of that, they're not growing. And not only are they not growing, we know that they will not be fruitful because they have been choked by the world. Which situation are you? You say, well, I'm at the top of the diamond. Well, you know, I think it's possible for you to maybe slide down that diamond. And if it's possible for you to slide down that diamond and you're a New Testament Christian here this evening, my question for you is, are you more likely to slide down here or are you more likely to slide down here? I think that's a good question. I think it's a good question. Which one are you more likely to slide into? Are you more likely to slide into, you know what, my knowledge is lacking, and if a persecution or a trial or a tribulation came, I might just give up Christianity. Is that more likely for you? Or is it more likely for you that the cares of this world get a hold of you and stunt your spiritual growth, that you are not growing and you're not producing fruit? Which one is more likely for you? You know, it's easy to look at a parable, and it's easy to say, oh man, I bet the Pharisees, they had a time with that one. You know, that one probably hit them right between the eyes. Some of these parables need to hit us right between the eyes. And we need to think, which one am I? Which type of heart do I have? Do I have the heart that God wants me to have, or have I slipped into an area where I would be in danger of not being fruitful. And a good test for you to ask is, both of these, as you fall down the diamond, both these individuals, there's some commonality. Commonality number one, they're not growing. That's question for you number one tonight. Are you growing? Because if you're growing, you would be up here. But if you're not growing, then you're down here. You're either being soaked by the cares of the world, or you don't have the foundation that you should. Are you growing? Question number two, are you being fruitful? Because if there's no fruit, then you're not really growing. And as I've heard said before, you're either growing or dying. And spiritually, I think there's a lot of truth in that. Which heart are you? Which heart could you perhaps slip into if you're not careful? The seed will go out and the gospel will go out to many. The question is how will you receive the seed when it comes your way? How will you receive the seed when it comes your way? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian tonight. We see the pattern of individuals receiving the word. They hear it, they believe it, they repent, they confess, they're baptized, and then they start on this walk, trying to live that Christian life. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way we can as we come, as we stand, and as we sing.